Welcome to episode 330 of the 8-Bit Geek. You know, normally we would have like a funny intro here, say, have funny things to say, but, you know, before we try to make you laugh. But tonight we just kind of wanted to say that our hearts are with all the families that may have lost someone over the weekend. You know, our country should be way better than this and in a better spot. And it definitely is not fair that you lost a loved one or a friend pretty much over racism. So with that, we wanted to quickly address something else that kind of came out of this, which Trump, I guess it would be if you're listening to this on Tuesday. He said it yesterday. But essentially, blaming video games as an influence as to what happened. And the quote was, "We must stop the glorification of violence in our society. This includes the gruesome and grisly video games that are now commonplace." Because of him saying this, pretty much all the major publishers and game companies, all their stock fell. Take-Two, Electronic Arts, even Zynga, who like makes puzzle games.
Candyland, too violent.
Zynga, yeah. They dropped 4%, and the stock of Activision Blizzard fell more than 6%. Now, there's a lot to be said about video games and violence. One of them is that he's wrong.
Yep.
100%.
Yep.
And there's data to back it up. There's been studies that have been ongoing for more than 15 years, and even the most recent one, which was published this year, the Forbes published it. You can look it up, so there's a source. And the study shows that there's absolutely no link between violent video games and aggression in teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. or human beings.
Yeah, This has been an argument for why people do shit, whether it be video games or if you go back to the 90s, cartoons and TV shows are too violent, movies are too violent. Mm-hmm. If you go back to like the 50s and before, you know, comic books were too violent. And that was, you know, oh my God, our kids are, oh, they're reading comic books. Like they're going to think they're superheroes. They're going to become super violent. Like what it is, it's an older generation who has their head so far up their own fucking ass that like they can't see reason. They don't know what it is, so they blame everything on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but it's an easy out for companies, you know, so that way they can kind of take the heat off themselves. Like the NRA doesn't want the heat on them. Gun manufacturers don't. Like anybody who, you know, none of these people. So it's the easy solution is just, oh, well, blame the thing that's violent the most.
And especially like the what do you call it? The baby boomer excuse of those damn kids and their video games, their mm-hmm. Pac-Man and their Dan Fogelberg.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's just you see it constantly. I mean, you can look back through history and you can see these complaints and stuff. I mean, you can even go back. I mean, think about The Simpsons when The Simpsons first came out. People fucking hated The Simpsons. They thought Itchy and Scratchy was so over the top violent that was going to cause children to be violent mm-hmm. and stuff. And it was like, no, the whole point of Itchy and Scratchy is to poke fun at the fact that there's super violent shit on TV. Like mm-hmm. it's not because it's a cartoon that it's violent, but that's what's going to affect the minds of children and stuff. It's fucking absurd and it's stupid. Mm-hmm. And anyone who uses that argument, like literally for anything, if it's like, I don't know.
Music with,
music. Exactly. Well, you know, gangster rap is turning all of our kids into gangsters, or heavy metal music is turning all of our kids into, you know, psychotic serial killers.
Into like, weird fucking psychopath musicians.
Yeah, like it's not a fucking thing. It's so fucking stupid. And I can't wait until this older generation just fucking croaks.
I mean, that's the thing. You know, it's funny because I was listening to a podcast today, which featured Casey Affleck, and he was talking about the same exact thing, where he was just like, you know, he believed that the slogan "Make America Great Again" actually brings us backwards. It puts us in a position where we're saying that America was never great, but in reality, that's what makes America great, is because we learn from the mistakes that we made and we improve on them. And every generation gets better and better and better. He brought up the fact that even when Obama was in office, he couldn't address openly gay relationships, endorse them and all that kind of stuff. But in 8 years, we've even seen so much progress in that area. And so we constantly grow and constantly get better. And as the generations die off that hold on to these old ideas, you know, we just keep getting better as people and as human beings.
But we're trying.
Well,
stoppage to that right now.
Well, that's the thing with the kind of the video games things. Back to that is just like Vox put out a, you guys can see it, the infograph here. Because they're talking about, you know, how video games and the correlation between it, but places like South Korea, China, the UK, Canada, all are, you know, they consume video games like crazy, and South Korea and China more than us. And the violent gun deaths are astronomical for the USA versus everyone else. Mm-hmm. And there's almost zero gun deaths in these countries where video games are even more popular than the US.
Yeah. And of course there's always those people that are going to make the argument that, like, well, it's because they don't have, you know, the knife attacks are more popular because people don't have guns, they can't arm themselves. And it's just one of those, like, the shooting in El Paso happened in fucking Texas. Right. An open carry state where you are allowed to take your gun wherever the fuck you want. That's why this dude probably walked into the Walmart or the shopping center or whatever, and no one blinked a fucking eye. And you know that, like, statistically, because it's fucking Texas, someone had a gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
No good guy with a gun stopped anything. That is such a bullshit fucking, like, response to, well, you know, if I arm myself, I'm going to be able to stop them. No, you're not. You are statistically more likely to hurt or injure someone else than to stop the fucking shooter.
That's the thing that I kept seeing on Facebook as well, going into this. Like, after this, it was just like, you know, people posting like, well, that's why I own a gun. And if I have a gun, then I can protect you and your family if you get behind me. And I just went, in the 265 or 85, however many it is, it's around that range of mass shootings in the USA this year alone, how many were stopped by somebody carrying a licensed weapon?
No, I think it's like less than 8% of I don't know if it's all like gun violence crimes or whatever, but like, or if it was mass shooting specifically, but it was like only 8% have actually been like stopped or deterred because of a person with a gun, with someone else, a good guy with a gun. 8%. I'm sorry. Not fucking worth it. I would rather us go back to 1994 when Clinton like banned assault rifles and mass shootings dropped by like 48% or 84%, something stupid fucking high, because you couldn't get the goddamn gun.
And then the whole
argument of like, well, if they're, you know, doesn't matter who they are, you know, if they're a criminal, they're going to get the gun. Not fucking true when it comes to these fools. These guys aren't robbing banks. They're not robbing people. These people are going in with the sole purpose of shooting up a place.
Mm-hmm. What was it who lifted the ban? Was it Bush?
Probably.
Yeah, I think Bush, it was Bush. Because, yeah, I think yeah. Bush. And so when they did that, when they lifted the ban, mass shootings went up 250%.
Yeah. I think back to the shooting that happened at our church back in 1999. Dude walked in. He had a handgun. And while he did damage and stuff, the fact that he had an auditorium full of teenagers and he walked in with a handgun and he only killed 4 people in there, it is a fucking testament. Because if this had been like now with these assault rifles and stuff, I wouldn't fucking be here right now. Like, I would be dead.
Yeah.
For almost 20 years at this point. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so and again, like, Texas cop at the church, still guys still managed to kill 7 people. So It doesn't fucking matter. I mean, it's such garbage that fucking matters. But people say that it does. It doesn't. It fucking doesn't.
Yeah, I agree. So, you know, that's kind of our stance on it. I mean, you know, it's a bullshit tactic that that these Republicans are using to kind of turn a blind eye to the real issue, which is guns.
Yeah. Emboldened racists that the president has given them permission and that has been his rhetoric this entire fucking campaign since his first fucking day campaigning, saying that Mexicans are rapists and criminals
and murderers. And
so you have this guy from fucking Dallas driving, you know, what, 9 hours to El Paso because he's there to hunt Mexicans. Like, and you know, posting photos of his guns laid out to spell Trump. Like, it's not fucking video games. It's our stupid fucking orange motherfucking racist piece of shit president. Just a fucking, you know, we always get fucking complaints when we talk about political stuff. Always. We'll lose a couple of Patreons for this, or patrons, or whatever, because people get fucking pissed. Because I just want nerd talk. I don't want politics. But, like, I'm sorry, that's not what the show is. I mean, like, yes, we talk about nerd shit. We try not to get too political when we can help it, but this is one of those things where fuck that, and fuck you if you voted for Trump, or you want to vote for Trump, or you support Trump. I don't want your money. I'm sorry, guys, go away. Like, I don't need it. I don't want it.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is an important subject, and it crosses paths with, you know, this is real life, and it's affecting, you know, all of our lives. And of course it crosses with video games and what we deal with on a daily basis. And, you know, it's a shame. Nobody deserves what's happening. And, I support Doug with that last statement. It's kind of like he's our Eminem right now, who just drew the line in the sand.
Well, it's just one of those things. Like, this is something that, like, obviously has affected my life in the past, and still think about it constantly, especially since with the 20-year like anniversary coming up. Shit. Like, and the fact that it hasn't fucking gotten better. Like, the fact that, like, you know, I was 13 and I remember thinking, like, God, you know, this has got to change. This is a room full of like 300 fucking teenagers that this guy just came in and shot at. No, not a fucking thing. Oh, yeah. Because not long before that was Columbine in April of 1999. Mm-hmm. And like, that didn't change anything, you know? And then literally I've seen this posted, especially this week, the talks about like when nothing happened after Sandy Hook, that is when America like decided it did not fucking care about kids that their gun is more important than someone's child, and nothing was going to change because that happened. And then like Vegas happened, where like 50 people died because some dude shot out from a fucking window of a hotel. Like, it's just bullshit. Yeah. And fuck Trump and fuck his racist followers. Because if you voted for him and you're still standing up for him, you're a fucking racist.
Yeah. That's go ahead, Kev.
I was just going to say, that's the hardest part about this is the hypocrisy in this situation. Like, my family is mostly Republicans, and I've loved them to death no matter what, but I won't back down in an argument. And it's just like, it's so hard to defend, you know, it's gotta be so hard for them to defend at this point without seeming just like inhuman. I mean, it's just insane what's allowed. And once again, in the hypocrisy in this, where, you know, once again, Trump's going on live TV and saying that we have to put an end to this violent talks and violent behavior and violent actions and citing shit. And it's like, you just probably did that last night at one of your weird fucking like war cry rallies. It's like, you do that all the time. Who the fuck do you think is chanting at your rallies?
Yeah. And the fact that he's like, oh, there's nothing I can do to stop it. Yeah, you can, man. Everything. You shut that shit down. John McCain did that shit back when he, like, back in 2008 or whatever the fuck it was that he ran.
Exactly.
Like, there's a very popular video that you can go watch with this lady. It's like, you know, Obama's a Muslim. What are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do to stop blah, blah, whatever? And he's like, hold on. No. He, you know, he's not. And that's not important. It doesn't fucking matter if he is or not. And
You can find that yeah. video online. I highly recommend yeah. watching that. But it's just, it's the willful ignorance that just, it's the most embarrassing thing about this whole situation. The willful ignorance. And it just because somebody just, it's a fucking divided nation and you don't want to admit, both parties don't want to admit they're wrong at times. And that's the part that just fucks it all up. Like, that's why, I mean, like, I'm, there's times where I'm, you know, just ashamed of all sides of everything. But it's just in this fucking instance, we know who the fucking wrong person is in this situation and the person who's inciting this shit and then blaming it on video games and yeah, music and just whatever else is disposable besides guns, you know, besides the actual issue and mental health. You know, we always bring, now we're starting to recently bring that up in issues, even though mental health has been there since day one, but not just overlooked.
Yeah. You know, I don't just, think there's any argument. I don't think there's, you know, there's been a lot of focus also this week on mental health, which I don't think any of us would argue, like, no, these people that went and shot people, they're clearly fucking crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not, there's, it takes a broken mind, I feel, to willingly go out and murder people.
Yeah.
But again, like, while that is important, and yes, we super need to address that, but at the same time, one way to do that is to make sure that they cannot get these, you know, guns. Like,
yeah. Right.
And they can't go to another state and get a gun, and they can't buy a gun from someone online, you know, or their neighbor or whatever. There needs to be restrictions in place to stop this shit from happening because these people are getting their guns too easily, you know.
And that's another thing. Trump lifted bans that Obama had just because Obama, his name was on the bill.
Yeah.
And it was banned for mental health again. Yeah. Like, basically, you can have a poor mental health sheet and still be able to get guns now. Back now in the Trump era, it's just, and I hate it because, like I said, I have so many friends that are on the other side of this, and it's so frustrating just communicating with them because it's how do you look at each other like that, man? It's hard to really see each other in the same way you did 4 years ago. You know, we were all somewhere. It feels like we were all someone different then. You know,
Kev, I applaud you for being so like still loving. It's really hard for me to look at people and who still support Trump and just not look at them and be like, you are a racist bigot. Like, there's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. Like,
yeah, at this point, especially, there is absolutely, if you're still standing up for him and if you're still supporting him, it is too fucking, like, you, if you are okay with someone who is overtly racist, if you are fine with that person, you are a racist. You also are a racist because you are not condemning racist actions, which is what we should be fucking doing as being a better people. And
yeah,
I don't know. Man.
You know, somebody said to me, we'll get off this here in a second, but somebody literally said to me, well, he's just doing the best with what he's been given. You know, no one's helping him out in that White House.
One's helping him out because they all keep fucking quitting because he's a piece of shit to work for.
Yeah. He came into the White House with a majority.
Yeah. He his party was in charge of everything, and they still couldn't get shit done.
Yeah. Okay, we should get off of this. This is like half the show.
Anyways,
we apologize, everyone. We'll put I think in the notes of the show we should put where we stop the rant so that if people want to skip it, they can go to the stuff if they want. I think that would be appropriate, but.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in a time when we can be consumed with everything bad in the world, we just kind of, you know, we wanted to get that out of the way so that way we can attempt to make you laugh for an hour or so. So we'll say that, please enjoy the rest of the silly show. By the way, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin. Oh, God.
So, listen. That was really heavy. If you're a first-time listener, you obviously know where we stand politically.
Now you do. Fuck.
You sure as shit do now. But we do get into a lot of fun stuff, and if you listened and you want to join in and more of the conversation, there's a lot of links on our website at www.the8bitgeek.com where there's links to the other shows that we have on the network. We have links to our Discord where you can chat with other fans. You can tell us that we're wrong. We can have an honest debate, whatever you want to do.
Civil.
And then, of course, we also have our Patreon. And we try to give you a ton of content every month for our Patreon. We do a daily show there. And, you know, we put that out exclusively just for the fans and just for the Patreon members. We have extended episodes of a lot of our shows. Kev has something very special that he's putting on Patreon. I don't know when he's planning on doing that.
Hi, J.J. Abrams here. Nice to meet you guys. Or, excuse me, Abrams WK. You guys like that movie Cloverfield?
Abrams WK. It's just three last names. Two last names.
You guys like that Cloverfield movie?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Cool, look. Me too. So,
he said,
check this
say
out.
Yes. He has it scripted.
So... We like to be, I wanted to do something on the fly. I finished something a little early and I really get it out there because I'm super excited for it. It is the season finale of 8-Bit Brawl. If you're a Patreon right now, $5 and above, you're getting that episode published. So you're getting that episode right now. Go watch it, or actually watch it afterwards. Don't leave the show.
Yeah, everyone
you're
leaves.
Like, you're like, you just published it. And then everyone goes, goodbye.
Yeah, all of a sudden our viewer count goes down. But please, watch it.
I'll catch the show tomorrow.
Give us the feedback. Give me the feedback. I want to hear it. I put so much love into this. I want you guys to enjoy it. But I'm still going to air it Wednesday night, 7:30 p.m. on my Twitch, twitch.tv/KevinWK, for everyone else who hasn't seen it, who is non-Patreon. Mm-hmm. But please, join our Patreon. You get cool stuff like that and weird random pictures of people and cooking recipes. And just weird stuff, but fun. And the diner. And also so much good stuff.
And Doug actually is going to go ahead and read off all of the people who donate to us through Patreon and who get this awesome content. You can be one of them by going over to our website and or Patreon and looking up 8-Bit Geek.
Yep. So here are our patrons that, as of today, have not canceled because of our political rant at the beginning. Here we go. Ryan, Mark, Ed, Lawrence, Cutie, Gonoff, Morgan, Windress, Michael, Corey, Lauren, Doug's favorite Brit, Josh, Random Hero, David, Jonathan, Snorkel, that is a classic, Drew, Matthias, Fat Free Donuts.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Oh, next up is Floor Salami. Sorry, Floor Salami. I think you lost the spot as my favorite name.
Nah.
Jana. Hey, Aimless. Manuel. Michael. Another Michael. The Dubstep Kid. Subside. Leonard. Nice. Zaylin. Coondog. Dr. Roxo. Pete. The Majestic Goose. Robert. Travis, Merle, and another Jeremy that's not our Jeremy.
Shout out.
Does it need my actual name? No. Kane, Brett, Benny Babs, One Step Down. Who the fuck is Kenny? Not Chad. Who the fuck is Kenny? Not Chad.
Not Chad. That's Chad right there. He's cool.
Robert says Star Citizen cunt, but good God.
Well, that was creative.
No, I'm gonna have to. I'm gonna bleep that out in post. Julian, Kev makes me hard.
Wow. Okay. I'm glad to hear that, Doug. But read the names.
I'm sorry.
Somebody had to know that we were reading soon, and they're like, "Oh, I'm changing this.
Changing my name." Chris, Carl, Christy, Joshy Boo, Francisco. Link, Jimbo, Eric, Linz, Caleb, Crassy, Brianna, Mato, and the Moose. If you don't hear your name and you're like, wait, I'm a patron, make sure that your card worked. Because we just hit first of the month, hit, you know, just a couple days ago.
Get up, wake
so
up.
If, you know, some people's cards have been declined for various reasons.
Not some, like 30% of you, your card's declined.
No.
Get on it. Get on. Kev, your card declined as well.
It's my bank. What the hell?
So, let's see. And I wanted to say too, we're gearing up for we're almost there. It's getting close, but we're in August, and today we started talks of you know what, Horror Fest.
Oh yeah, I was like, what are you talking about?
8-Bit Horror Fest. So. We started doing that, and we'll be announcing some details soon. So stay tuned for that. But let's get into the funny, and we're gonna try something that we tried a long time ago.
Kev was saying, wait.
What? We got a couple donations in there, by the way. 60 minutes ago, Spook donated $5 and said, Japan is rad, and also metal music is rad. So is CSGO, but I guess that makes me a terrorist in some people's eyes. Well, that must have been during the video.
Oh, the rant. Yep.
And then he also donated $2 just now and said, this is for the guy in the suit, Daniel.
Which guy?
I love everyone here on the show and in Discord. Oh, thanks, Daniel.
Thank you. You're sweet.
The guy in the suit. Yeah.
Wait, who?
And thanks, Spooks, for donating.
Who's the guy in the suit?
Daniel.
Right.
Don't give me this who's on first bullshit. Just get to the funny.
All right, Kev, hit that drop for our new reboot intro. Think of something. Hit it.
Think of something. Reboot.
That's it?
Audio Jungle. Couldn't afford shit, man.
See what you do when you forget to link your new card to Patreon?
Yeah, see?
We can't afford drops. And we just rip shit off of Audio Boom. Or Audio Jungle. We don't Audio Jungle. Please don't.
Yeah, that was a joke.
It was a joke.
All right, so we're going to reboot a movie. And Doug wanted to run with this one. He said he's got it. He was like,
he's got this.
Jeremy?
Yeah.
Kev, don't need your input until I actually do this, but we're rebooting Forrest Gump for 2019/2020 in theaters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Take it away, Doug.
All right. So this is a new, quote unquote, modern retelling of Forrest Gump.
Okay.
Okay. So we begin in 1980 Florida.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, what was hot then? I don't know. I didn't live in 1980s Florida. But
Florida was hot.
Yeah. I have to assume a lot of shit. Those fucking haircuts. A
lot of shit. You got
a
it.
Lot you're, shit. You're, a lot
you're
of
on
shit.
The right path.
Uh-huh. Mullets, ATVs, Striper. I don't know.
Striper? So, fuck yeah, dude.
Like,
Christian metal for the win.
So.
Playing with the boys.
Okay, so I have some bullet points of things that happen in the movie, and feel free to like help me flesh some of these parts out, right?
Okay,
who's starring as Forrest Gump?
I don't know. Well, yeah, well, I guess we can start there. I don't have that yet. I don't have the role casted. I don't have any roles casted.
Okay. Sawbone, aka Ed, has suggested Michael B. Jordan starring.
Michael B. Jordan as Forrest Gump is perfect. Yes. Yes.
All
right,
here we go.
Okay. So, you know,
it's
going to follow essentially the same plot. So, you know, he's sent to a special needs class because he talks slow. Maybe not because he's actually dumb, but his mom, who will be played by... Oh, man, who should play his mom? Oh, man, what's... I have someone in mind. Although, I think it'd also be funny if it was like Jada Pinkett Smith played the mom.
That'd be good. Yeah, Jada Pinkett Smith would be good. Or
what's her face come back and do it?
With Sally Field.
Sally Field's gonna reprise her role.
Sure, Sally Field's back.
Taraji P. Henson?
Yes, that's exactly what I was
thinking. She would be the mom. Yeah, she would be awesome.
Yeah. In this case, he's just sent to the special needs class instead of being put in the normal class or being allowed in school because it's, you know, the 80s and they're trying to be progressive and they're trying to help kids with special needs, even though, I mean, it's the 80s, so how good is that class actually? But she still fucks the principal. Because
good grades.
Yep, good grades.
You gotta get that lunch money in.
Yep. Forrest has 13 knee surgeries to repair his legs instead of wearing those metal leg things.
Okay.
So... we still get the same running down the street and like just being able to run now, but he's super fucking fast. Like that's the whole setup, right? So
being more progressive, do we get a Sally Field sex scene instead of just the noises?
Yeah.
Do we go back to Sally Field? Is that who we cast into this?
Yeah. And it's a 10-minute long sensual sex scene. It's
it starts with a candle being lit.
Yeah. It's like the sex scene from The Room.
Oh no. Please, can the principal be Tommy?
Tommy Wiseau is the principal.
Principal Tommy. Hey, your kid's not gonna make it in school, you know.
And he's still like, oh hi Mark. My name's Forrest.
Oh, hi, Tree.
You're my favorite doggy.
Oh, hi, doggy. Pats his head.
You're my favorite customer. Sorry, we'll stop quoting The Room.
So it always goes back to The Room.
He plays for the high school football team. You know, he's the fastest wide receiver. He goes on to play for the Gators, the Florida Gators, or whatever the fuck they're called. Whatever state.
Is this Bobby
state.
Boucher? We're about to...
What's that?
We about to do a Bobby Boucher mix-up? Are we blending movies?
He didn't start as the water boy on the team, but this is good. Yeah, that's actually pretty good.
He played, and then after the the final game, you know, he knows he's not going to the NFL. I don't know why, but then the Army's like, hey, come join the Army. So Forrest goes to Afghanistan.
That sounds like Ernest goes to Afghanistan. It's like I just pictured, oh, God.
All right, so he's going to meet Bubba. It's still the same. And he's going to meet Lieutenant Dan, which we still need to cast. I'm okay with Gary Sinise still, but I recognize
him. But with the metal legs already.
I'm going to go. Can we go Goldblum?
Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum is Lieutenant Dan.
Like that ship scene, I couldn't picture him doing that. But maybe that's even better. That's even more reason. I want to see Goldblum lose his shit. I was thinking... Even better if I can cast this.
Bubba can be Samuel L. Jackson.
No, that's just racist.
No, that's right.
No, and I think, okay, so if Forrest is black in this movie, I think Bubba needs to be white.
And it's Bubba Sparks.
It's Bubba Sparks.
It is Bubba Sparks, his best friend. And all he does is freestyle to him while they're cleaning and doing all their duties together.
Yeah, it's like fresh shrimp, broiled shrimp, full... We're going to eat these shrimp because that's fucking cool. We got grilled shrimp and so on and so forth.
He's scratching and he's going booty, 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 booty.
Shripping everywhere.
May I offer the services of a one Nicolas Cage to play Lieutenant Dan, though?
Yep, that's perfect. Nick Cage.
Think of that ship scene with like Nick Cage just losing his shit down on his knees going like, Kagan, give me the storm.
Yep. Instead of like it, you know, because they're in like Vietnam or whatever, instead of it being like rainy all the time, instead it's just like the sandstorms all the time. And he's to the same thing where it's like, yeah, the sand, you know, the sand was coming up from below or whatever he says about the rain going up. And then, you know, the firefight and Bubba gets shot. And he carries him back when he dies and all that stuff. And Lieutenant Dan loses his legs. It's all pretty much the same. Forrest gets shot in the ass because it's still funny and relevant and a good joke in a movie. He spends, you know, some time in the infirmary. He sees Lieutenant Dan without no legs and he says the infamous line. You know, we keep a lot of this very similar to the original because it worked very well. He eventually goes on to meet the president. And meets, you know, George W. Bush.
Has he met the love interest yet?
Yeah, I haven't mentioned. I don't know what to do about. I haven't talked about. Well, Jen Ang. Who cast Jenny? Yeah, cast Jen Ang real quick.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Young Jenny or old, like adult Jenny?
Adult Jenny.
Adult Jenny, Janelle Monáe. Boom.
All right, I'll take it.
Because she's a musician. She's trying to be a musician like Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just an amazing actress. So, but that's not even like ironic. That's just me. I love Janelle Monáe.
So it says Bella Thorne is young Jenny. So a white actress.
Yes. All right. Yeah. Do that fucking Lethal Weapon 6 thing from It's Always Sunny. Just switch the actors mid-movie.
So he meets the president. I don't really remember all what happens after that. I think he tries to go find Jenny after that and gets involved with Antifa or whatever you say it, Antifa or whatever, because it was the Black Panther. Yeah, it was the Black Panthers in the original movie, but we'll make it a little more relevant. he ends up at Coachella. He somehow accidentally ends up on stage with Jay-Z and Beyonce. You know, just, you know, like, he, you remember he did the, he showed up on the, after like Crocker or whatever, on the, at the Washington Plaza or whatever the fuck it was called.
Yeah.
At some point, you know, he gets into trouble, and this is where the movie's going to differentiate a little bit. Like, so,
okay, here we go.
Yeah. So, you know, or he get, there's a whole falling out with Jenny and stuff, and finds out that she is sick with, we'll say, cancer in this movie. We'll also update it because the AIDS epidemic isn't really a thing right now. You know, it's not like it's, there's things that you can do preventatively as well as like medically to assist with living longer than, you know, because at that, in that time when the movie takes place, like, that was a death sentence. Like, you were,
yeah, yeah.
So a cancer, we'll say like ovarian cancer or some shit. I don't know. That'd be crazy. But he, someone gets in trouble. And, or is it the wrong place, wrong time with like maybe Antifa or whatever, Antifa, and he gets arrested by ICE, but he doesn't have any of his papers.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets deported to Guatemala.
Okay.
And now we bring it back to the movie now, and there's a large segment of him just running back to America. And when he gets back to America, he spends years running. Gets back to America, gets in, because he's, you know, he is a citizen. And presumably at this time, Trump isn't president, and he's able to actually get through without any issue. I have that, yeah, like, it's kind of the same ending and stuff, too, where he's, you know, most of the movie's sitting on the park bench, he's waiting to go meet her, and then he asks for the directions, and he's like, oh, it's just down that way. And he goes running, and then he meets his son, also still played by Haley Joel Osment.
Yes, but like, they did like the Marvel thing to him. They digitized his face onto like a kid.
Yeah,
but with a beard. No,
maybe he'll just be like, "This is your full grown Haley Joel Osment. He's your age." Not even, "This is your full grown kid. This is your full grown." So that's,
those are my plot points for this movie. There's obviously things that we could fill in and make it, but I just think that that's, you know, there's just a couple changes, but you know, maybe, yeah, he meets, because I think Forrest met a couple presidents, so he meets. He meets W, and then he meets Obama, and then he meets Jay-Z.
He's on Jimmy Fallon at some point.
He's on Fallon, exactly.
At one point, he was on the ping pong team. We could change it up. Like, the fucking the army has a sports team, so he's on, like, Fortnite.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he plays esports for a while.
I'm really good at Overwatch. I don't know why I still give him Tom Hanks. He still has to use Tom Hanks.
No, yeah, he still has that exact same voice. Yeah, but that was the whole point of him being in the special needs class in school.
Even better. It's redubbed by Tom Hanks. So it's Michael B. Jordan's body and likeness, but it's Tom Hanks' voice. But like current Tom Hanks.
Yep.
Even as a kid.
Yeah.
I like it. I like where it's going.
Yeah, we can't wait to see this movie come out in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow they're going to announce that Michael B. Jordan they're rebooting it with him.
Timestamp this.
So, all right, let's get to the top box office, because we'll fly through the news that we have this week. But Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw, because I don't know why you would need to even put Fast and Furious presents in front of that. I mean, it's just been Hobbs and Shaw, and everyone would have fucking known. Made $60 million at the box office. It made $180 million worldwide. We'll get a sequel.
Good start.
Good start. I don't think it's as good as they wanted.
No, I was going to say 60 domestically seems very low.
For a movie, what did Fast and the Furious open to? We'll see. Box office.
I didn't even know it came out this soon. Mojo. Like, I don't remember any like real promotion for it.
Let's see. Fast 7, right? Is that what it is? Fast 7?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
Who knows?
Fast and Furious.
I am Fast and Furious.
All right. Fuck, man. I don't even know. It doesn't even. I can't even pull it up. Why not? Yeah, these are articles. I don't want articles. Anyways,
I want pictures.
It made money.
Is it the Fate of the Furious?
Oh,
F8.
Yeah,
2017.
How much did that make opening weekend?
It made opening weekend $98 million.
Yeah.
Yep. And also the budget on this, the estimated budget is $200 million. So
it was $250 on the other one.
Oof.
So there you go.
Universal is opening a new theme park, guys. They announced Epic Universe.
Yes.
And
where's that at?
It's going to be in Florida.
God damn it.
So it's going to open up. It's going to be like really cool stuff, I guess. There's going to be hotels, shops, restaurants, and rides, and all that good shit. It'll open in on 750-acre site.
Damn.
A few miles away from the Universal Orlando Resort. So I guess they're going to do a a shuttle. So if you want to go to
that makes sense.
One park, you can go right down the other.
There you go.
They said that our vision for the Epic Universe is historic. Everything, it will be built on everything we have done and become the most immersive and innovative theme park we've ever created. And we've talked a lot about Universal and the work that they've done with their new rides and stuff like that. And I think it'll be pretty fucking great.
That's awesome.
They may have gotten better at building rides than Disney. Maybe. Because I've heard the new Star Wars Land is amazing, but it did not open the way that they thought. They thought it was going to be months worth of crowds and packed, and I guess that shit is empty as fuck.
Already?
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, I think part of the problem is, one, they put that four-hour limit on people. I don't know if they still are, but it's like you can do everything there, you know, like within an hour or two, depending on the line for the ride. But apparently, like, the line for the ride moves fast, and then apparently, like, it's not a long ride. I mean, you can watch a YouTube video of it. And then, like, yeah, there's a couple of shops and a couple of restaurants, and that's it.
Yeah. The one in Florida it looks a lot bigger than the one in California, so.
And that may be true, because they definitely have a lot more space to spread out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still really excited to go check it out and be immersed in that place. And I think one of the fatal flaws that Disney does versus Universal is, like, Disney is selling all of these Jedi robes and stormtrooper gear, but you're not allowed to wear them in the park.
Mm-hmm.
As to where you can go to Universal and wear the shit out of your favorite costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, it lends itself to becoming a part of that Star Wars saga. And whenever you're, you know, just let people wear the Jedi robes. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, let them have fun. Let them live that out, you know?
So, but we have
They don't want people taken away from their paid, like, performers and actors and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and it makes sense why, but, like,
I get it.
If I could buy this shit here, then I should be able to wear this shit here. Because I don't want to lug this shit around.
But it makes sense. We have a friend who works at Disney, and we just talked to him yesterday, and they were like, "Yeah, no one. It's you can come in and just do whatever you want in Star Wars Land. There's nothing going on." And I was like, "Is it because the second ride hasn't opened yet? Like, are people just, like, staying away because of that?" And they're like, "They don't know yet, because of the fact that they expected much more out of this at launch." And I was like, okay, so they're still, like, gathering data. So we'll see. I think maybe only having one ride was a big misstep.
Yeah, even though, like, I mean, it's cool. It's really interactive as fuck. You're flying the Millennium Falcon. It's pretty sick. But one ride. I mean, why? What was that? And then you got to think about, like, Harry Potter, you know, opened in two phases. Mm-hmm. Where it was, like, Diagon Alley, and then the school, like, Hogwarts and Hogsmeade and shit. But, like, they didn't open that far apart, maybe only a year apart. And then, like, Diagon Alley is dope as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cool, because there's all these interactive shops and stuff that, like, you know, even when you go to get, like, your wand, you can go through, like, the whole wand making choosing process, like you would, you know, like you saw in the Harry Potter movies and stuff. And shit's sick, man.
Yeah.
And I've heard that.
That store. I mean, like, there's the the Weasley's shop.
Mm-hmm. The candy shop.
The Weezy's Wheezes. I don't know. Weasley's Wizarding Wheezes. Yeah, they're prank shops. So it's candy and like whoopee cushions. You know what I mean? Like, it's so nice. Silly.
That's awesome. There's a bar that does really crazy stuff too, right? Like a bar that you can point the wand at and there'll be certain, or if you order a certain drink, like a something will happen around the bar.
There's interactive I'm stuff sure. to do all yeah. over the park.
Yeah, that's if awesome. You buy one of the wands there, they have like a lot of them are the interactive ones and they give you a map of where to go. And yeah, you go up to like a window and you look at your map where it's like, you could do a spell here. When you get there, do an S shape or whatever, like S motion with your wand and say this or whatever. Now, you saying it doesn't matter because it's got like a infrared, I don't know, not infrared or some sort of like tip or whatever on the wand that it triggers something to happen. Like you can make the blinds go up or in the shop or whatever, you make like one of the broomsticks like spin and fly up and, mm-hmm. and eventually, you know, kind of lowers itself back down. But you can do all this crazy shit all over both Hogsmeade and Diagon Alley. Mm-hmm. It's fucking sick. And a giant dragon that shoots fire at you. It's fucking awesome.
One rumored expansion that will go into Epic Universe is the Nintendo Land. So, because they did it, Universal did a deal with Nintendo. They were going to build a park. And so I think that will be a part of it.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd like to check that out.
Yeah. Let's see. It seems that the original Lion King animators have huge resentment of the Disney's remake. Because why not?
Of course.
You made a perfect movie, and essentially a perfect movie, and then they're like, we'll do it for money. I guess their biggest complaint aren't the people who made it or the actors or anything. It was the fact that Disney stood for something more back then, they say, and Disney, you know, animation was their bread and butter, and they did it for the love of animation and, you know, the story. And now it's just, it seems like they're just money hungry and just doing remakes of everything when at a time Disney never did a remake. And so they seem very upset. I guess I would be too. And this kind of goes against what Disney did say. They said that the animators were working hand in hand to make sure that everything was great and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But I guess I'd have some resentment too if I spent years of my life working on something that was, I mean, many consider a perfect fucking Disney movie.
Yeah, it was up there like that and Aladdin. And to me, the trinity of those, like that era, was like Aladdin, Mermaid, and Lion King. Like those three were just like my top three Disneys.
Yeah, the 90s for Disney movies were a peak Disney time. Yeah. So many fucking classics came out of that time.
Mulan.
Including those three. Did you say your mom?
I said Mulan. Mom.
Your mom came out of, she was perfect in the 90s. Your mom was so perfect in the 90s.
Hey, Jeremy. Jeremy, let me tell you about your mother. She was just a fucking peach, man. You know what I mean? You just get up in the, you know, like a peach looks like a bite. You just want to just get in there and you just eat it.
Oh, no.
But avoid the pit. And avoid the pit, you know what I'm saying?
Who is that? Who walked in your room, Doug?
My mom's dead.
Oh, that's a shame to hear. We had a lot of good times with her, though.
God damn it.
So Netflix is testing.
Anyways, yeah.
Netflix is testing your physical activity now, guys. So when you pop open that Netflix app, it just says, "Hey, can we get that? Can we get access to what you're doing? Can we see where you're walking and how much you're exercising?" So that's you know, that's shit.
I wonder if it's, and I'm trying to think of the Android standpoint.
App. Yeah, it's for that Netflix Android app.
They're saying that it's a part of a test to see how it can improve video playback quality when a member is on the go. I don't know. Put in more fucking LTE towers, I guess, along the way.
Oh. I was thinking more from a reporting basis of like, maybe they want to know who's working out while watching Netflix or something like that. You know, like people who set up their phone on like an elliptical and
That would give them so much fucking data to see what shows are played while people are working out. And that way they can skew more like shows to that crowd and everything.
Yeah. See, that's how they get you. You know, they just wanted all this data. You know, they want to take this data, pull it together. Oh,
get the fuck out of here, Alex. Sorry.
I thought you were really talking to someone for a second. Just for a second.
That was our tinfoil hat moment.
Oh shit! I forgot to put this story up where we were talking about Hobbs, but there was a producer who came out who said that the Fast and Furious male stars would go to ludicrous lengths to make sure they didn't seem weak on screen. And I guess there was one. There was producers and crew members on the film, and they said that there's an agreement with the studio that limits how badly Mr. Statham can be beaten up on screen. So they have to police the number of punches he takes because he doesn't want to seem like he's getting beat up. Get the fuck out of here. And then there's
seven punches is all I'm gonna take. It's all I want. Seven.
I ain't a pussy.
No, I don't want anyone thinking, oh, I got a small dick. All right.
So, and then I guess they're saying that no moment in the movie appears too small to nitpick. In a scene in 2017's Fate of the Furious, required Mr. Johnson to be lying on the ground at Mr. Diesel's feet, he insisted his character at least be sitting up. And they were like, I guess they were in rehearsals and edits. People familiar with the situation said, he's falling down right here, she once observed during a fight rehearsal, according to one person on set. And is he going to get his licks back in, like by sitting? And I don't fucking know. Like, just one of those things where it's like, I can't appear to be laying on the ground because that's a weak position. Weird,
that is, man. Some old school macho bullshit, dude.
Fucking Hollywood. Sometimes you lose in Hollywood, but sometimes you win. And this next story is a fucking win.
Yes.
Kevin Conroy will finally play the fucking Batman. Well, not the Batman.
Or at least Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, at least Bruce Wayne. He's playing Bruce Wayne in Crisis on Infinite Earths. I tell you what, since Arrow's going out, they're going out big. Like, they're going out so big.
Yeah. They've got Burt Ward is coming on to Crisis on Infinite Earths. Don't know what the fuck he's going to be playing, but I'm super excited he's going to be there.
That's awesome. You
know, Kevin Conroy coming in as Bruce Wayne, which is, he's just the fucking voice of Batman, man. I mean, like, that's
sick.
Yeah,
it's going to be crazy seeing him in a cowl.
It's supposedly dressed as
just
Batman.
Just Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, oh, okay. So he's not okay.
And which version of Bruce Wayne and from what Earth, right? Yeah. Brandon Routh, who is currently on Legends of Tomorrow, is showing up as the Superman. Kingdom Come Superman, which fucking dope. So he's playing Superman again.
Wow.
There's rumors. I saw rumors today that Michael Rosenbaum was returning as Lex Luthor from the guy that played Lex on Smallville. Also super dope. I haven't said anything concrete, but again, that'd be awesome. I mean, and then they also said that Black Lightning, their other CWWB show,
is going to actually cross over.
Going to cross over. They've said in the past that they weren't going to do it, and it looks like for Crisis on Infinite Earths, they're fucking doing it. So
they're bringing back so many. They're putting so many people in this series, and I can't fucking wait.
Yeah,
that makes me just want to watch that season. I don't even watch Arrow.
Yeah, I mean, it's it's gonna be so sick. I guess it's just a big crossover. So it's only gonna be like, what, four episodes long, maybe?
I would completely strip all of these shows down to just these crossover events.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, after last year's, when they like introduced Batwoman, and then they had, yeah, everyone was together except for Black Lightning. But like, I was like, I just want this. Yeah. Like, this is what I want.
Do it like The Boys or one of these other shows. 8 to 10 episodes, done.
Yeah.
And then just move on and do it again next year.
Exactly. Exactly. Especially with some of these shows that have been on for seasons where it's like, I don't care about what Oliver's doing this season. Just give me the fucking crossover. Mm-hmm. I will say that I've heard that the ending of last season of Arrow, like, a lot of people were saying, like, that was the final season of Arrow, and what is next is just a season-long setup for Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's only 10 episodes, right? So, and I guess his last episode is during the Crisis on Infinite Earths.
So he gonna die.
Yeah, oh, he's gonna die. Yeah. Well, because I remember the last Elseworlds or whatever, like, he made that deal with that one dude, whatever he was called, who's also coming back. Yeah, he like made a deal or whatever to spare everyone for his life or something like that. And I guess that guy showed up at the end of the last season to like collect or whatever. And I guess people are saying it's going to seem like he's like time jumping or world jumping or something. I mean, this next season, I don't know. We'll fucking see.
All right. Well, that's a lot of fun. Let's get into some gaming talk real quick. And something that's so fucking awesome. It was just announced that Console Wars is getting a feature documentary at CBS All Access.
Nice.
It is being led by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, who were once going to write and direct the feature film, but now it's going to be a documentary. I read the book. It is a fantastic book. I recommend to anybody who's a gaming fan. I can't wait to see this. Even though I've read it, I'm like, I'm so there. It is amazing.
Put and, like a face to names and everything, or a face to voices and all that.
And know. if you don't know what Console Wars is about, it's about the rise of Sega taking on Nintendo. And if they did not take on Nintendo, we would have a completely different gaming landscape today. Because Nintendo had 95% of the market, and they had an ironclad grip on retailers. They could do whatever they wanted. Everyone was scared of them because they were the hottest selling thing, and they didn't want to upset Nintendo. It's amazing what Sega just, they were the rebels, and they just said, fuck it, we're doing this, we're going up head to head with them. And it was a fantastic book. I highly recommend it. So
nice.
Man, Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg are behind so many huge projects like lately, especially comic book related stuff. So you just mentioned The Boys. They were executive producers of that show too.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Cool. And then Preacher and this.
Preacher was also a comic book series.
Mm-hmm. And I was looking at some of the other producers of the show. One of them is Dan Trachtenberg, who directed 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Oh, wow.
Did a couple
is that
episodes.
Michelle
episodes.
Trachtenberg's brother?
Oh, I don't know. I don't see anything that he is, but maybe. And he's also the director of the Uncharted movie that's supposed to come out in 2020.
Awesome. Is that still starring our Spider-Man?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Did they cast who's playing Sully yet? Okay, it's rumored right now that Bryan Cranston's going to be Sully. And, yes, please.
Yeah, that he would make a good Sully.
He's got to be... Dude, Tom Holland has got to be a young Nathan Drake. There's no way he's
gonna be like, yeah, current day.
And not saying that he's not able to, I'm not, you know, he's probably more than capable of it, but he just, like, the story is about like a kind of a middle-aged man, you know, who had flashbacks to his youth. So it'd be strange. I guess I shouldn't say middle-aged man, because that was him at the end of four, but like in the beginning, you know, probably late 20s early 30s in the first game. So we reached out to CD Projekt Red this past week, and because they launched their company with good old games is that what it is? Good Old Games. GOG. I always just call them GOG.
Yep. Most people do.
They launched a new app called Galaxy 2.0, and it is supposed to bring all of your libraries together, you know, from Xbox to Steam, you know, everything in between. You play all of that, and we were like, it's in closed beta right now. So we reached out and we were like, hey guys, can the 8-Bit Geek team get in on this? And we'd love to test it out and talk about it on the show. And they said, absolutely. And so that's what we've been doing this last week. And I thought that we would give our early impressions of this software, because I think that, personally, I think every PC gamer that's listening to this show will want this software.
I agree.
It is awesome. I didn't really think I was going to care too much for it, because like, oh, great. Another launcher. But man, it really gets rid of the need to have any other launcher.
Yeah. I mean, you still need the launcher, but you don't have to keep them open. because you still need to launch your ultimately to launch most of these games, at least in beta. But hopefully that changes.
Well, no, you'll still probably need those to launch it, right? And so you'll still need to have them installed. But out of beta, what this will do will it'll automatically open the launchers for you and automatically close them whenever you're done, so you don't have them taking up resources or anything like that. So if you have them on an SSD, it takes an extra second to launch that stupid thing and then launch the game. But this thing tracks your activity. It attracts all of your achievements across everything from PlayStation. I think Doug really enjoyed looking and comparing his achievements on the PlayStation 4 right at the PC, right?
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. Yeah, it does something for Xbox as well. Like, you can look at your achievements and all that stuff. Yep. Now, for the PC games, since a lot of the PC launchers track how much time you put into games, that was cool too. It was, it even compares like your friend list and stuff. So it was like, you know, I forget like what game we were looking at, but it was like, you know, I think for this one specifically, it might have been Star Wars Battlefront 2 or whatever, where it was like, I've put in like 200 something hours into it, and you'd only put in like 100 something or whatever it was. And it was just like us, you know, like, oh, cool. Man, I played a fuck ton of that game. And then, like, even the total, it totals up your times, too. So it's like, well, how much time have you put into gaming? Well, 9,000 hours, apparently.
Yeah. And it breaks it down for you, how much you've played daily, weekly. And it's just like, I looked at it, I was like, holy shit, dude. I've only played 2 hours this week of gaming. That's how little gaming I've gotten in. It tracks all of your games installed. Your entire libraries, you can install from there. You can click install, you can click play. This thing is very clean. You can resize the game art. It's vertical game art. It looks really, really beautiful. And I personally look at it as, this is what Steam should be in 2019. This is how it should, the UI should be, because they do a better job of being Steam than Steam.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
I also like that, like, when you launch, or not even launch a game, when you click a game from your library, no matter what platform you're on, like, the background art for the page changes to the whatever, some game art or something. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah, going from the PlayStation looking at God of War in the background, turning into, like, this, you know, awesome epic picture from God of War, and then going over and clicking on Battlefront 2 and it changing to Star Wars art or whatever, and then going over to Steam and choosing, like, Lego Batman or some shit, like, you know, like, it just changes into this other art, and it, like, I love how that looks, because it's not that stale, static gray and blue and black or whatever that Steam is, right? Where it's just these, like, that's it. And this is, you know, it has, like, you know, change, like, it changes, and it just, I like that. Like, I like that a lot.
It's beautiful. And the layouts, like, the layouts for the game, like, it shows what achievement you gotten the latest. Like, it shows you all the information that's pertinent, and it's laid out a lot better than any of the game launchers have. So it's really fantastic, man.
Yeah.
So
loving it.
Yeah, I was with you. I was like, I don't know. I kind of enjoy. Like, I don't mind opening up all these different apps to launch a game, I guess. But I don't even go to Steam now when I'm opening a library. I go straight to Galaxy, and I go, all right, what do I want to play?
Yep.
So
it looks more desirable than, you know, like, at least for my Steam library, I would just keep it on the side. So I would just see names, like, seeing, like, the covers and everything entice me. And then some of them even have alternate covers, which is really interesting too. And the only thing that makes me sad, I mean, because it's cool that I connected all my accounts. Everything that can be connected is connected right
now
for me.
Same.
And so I'm seeing multiple copies of games, but from, you know, console to PC and everything. There was one game I was telling Jeremy yesterday. I had one game that I had four of. I forgot which one it was. I don't know if it was Destiny or something like that, but it was just crazy.
I'm not sure, but what's really cool, and we'll get off of it here for a second, but our initial impressions are just, it's really fucking,
I love it. It's really, it's great. So awesome.
They will have unified chat, as well. So it will take all of the chats from all of the clients, dump them into this program, and you have one universal friend list, and you can chat with anybody from across, platforms.
Amazing.
Which is gonna be sick.
Yeah, that's huge.
So anyways, that's the Galaxy 2.0 browser. Go sign up for it. You could do that over at gogalaxy.com. Mm-hmm. And sign up for the beta. Get in there with us. It's really, really dope.
It is. It really, I can't recommend it enough.
Some other big news in gaming is that Ninja has left Twitch. I'm sure everybody knows this already. If you didn't, you're under a rock. And he's streaming exclusively on Mixer. Microsoft had to offer this dude life-changing money to do this.
$3 million, I think it was.
It's got
pretty life-changing.
I would argue to say it's probably more, because he makes $1.5 million a week on Twitch.
That's insane. And
not just on Twitch, but that's with it has to be Twitch. It's something ridiculous. I looked this up earlier. It's some ridiculous number he makes on Twitch weekly. How much does...
I'm sure with, like, donations and stuff, sure, but, he could still get that same money and stuff. And then also,
But it's not a safe bet, right? Because Mixer isn't as popular as Twitch, so you're like, you're going to take a chance on me. You got to pay up.
You say that, but he already, like you said in the pre-show, dude already has more subscribers there than he did on Twitch. Now, granted, they were giving away the free sub or whatever to him. So obviously people are taking advantage of that. But are you kidding me? Like, he's already over 500,000 subscribers. So that alone is $1 million.
He said that he earned in 2018, he earned $10 million. And he earns 500,000 more than 500,000 on a good month. So I was wrong about the 1.5. He should do fine. But I still think at the same time there had to be that conversation of like, listen, you're not a sure bet because of the fact that you're not as popular. But $3 mil for an exclusive contract would be fucking awesome.
500,000 subscribers is $2.5 million. So if he's already over that, like, yeah, here's three million, and then within 72 hours he just made another 2.5.
Yeah.
Just by being on there.
Knuckles says that Mixer barely worked the last time I used it. I haven't had that issue. I think we all share this. Mixer is the better platform.
Easily.
Technology wise, feature wise, they've got it down. It's just that they don't have the people. I've never encountered a bad stream with Mixer, and it's always like 1080p, 60 frames a second, looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's just that no one's there. So maybe this...
Yeah, that is frustrating.
And the people that are there are children.
Yeah.
Apparently, according to our inside source.
But maybe this changes things. Maybe this starts to turn the tide. Because if Microsoft's willing to go after Ninja, Shroud has to be next. Definitely not Dr. Disrespect. He's going to stay where he is.
Dr. Douchebag.
They won't pay for him because he's too controversial.
And I have to say, like, I am so glad I haven't heard from this motherfucker in a while.
He's back. He just did the Call of Duty, launch.
Launch.
So he went to an event and was streaming from there and all that.
Yeah, he was.
I'd see what you did there. So yeah, he moved to Mixer. He resulted in 500,000 subscribers and a surge in app downloads in his first 3 days on Mixer. So it's crazy.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. So he bought it. He got a cake, and it's a Red Bull cake. I forget he's also signed to Red Bull as a
Red Bull. Yeah, you go to like a 7-Eleven right now, his face is on the cans.
Yeah.
He's got shit everywhere, man. There's Ninja dolls that are selling at Walmart. There's
Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, I mean, he's got it. He's... What'd you say?
He has his Ninja Turtles.
PS4 has hit 100 million sold as digital game sales eclipse physical for the first time in history.
Here we go. So it begins.
No, I'm sorry. Just on the PlayStation, because we all know that digital has eclipsed a lot more. So 50% of all game sales on the PS4 this quarter were digital. So there's that.
That's crazy.
But we all knew that was happening. I mean, that shit.
It's going to happen. I mean, eventually, like, especially now with GameStop and all the troubles they're having, it's
they're going down.
It's going to happen.
I went to GameStop. Didn't go to GameStop. I went to the mall, and there was a, what's that store that just shut down their website?
ThinkGeek.
Yeah, I went to ThinkGeek, and they had a lot of stuff for on the cheap. I don't know how long they're going to last either. There were statues in there for $25 for like Witcher and all that. And I was so tempted to buy one. I was like, oh, but I was like, there's no place I'm going to put this. So Switch Online subscribers can play Mario Tennis for free starting next week. You can take advantage of a game trial from them. Oh. They're going to start doing this. It's a 7-day free trial, and it's the full game that you get to play from August 7th to August 13th, and they're going to start rolling this out with all of their first party titles. So you'll be able to play a title from them, and then also during that time, it's 30% off. So if you play it and you want to buy it, it'll save your progress and you'll get it on sale.
Nice.
I've been tempted for the Mario Tennis, and but I just haven't pulled the trigger.
Hmm.
And with that, our last story is with EA saying dumb things again. They're making the argument that Switch owners would generally prefer to play their games elsewhere, so that's why they don't put their games on the Switch. The Switch.
What the fuck does that even mean? I see what they mean, but they're shooting themselves in the foot here.
I keep seeing every publisher and every developer go and say, "Hey, the Switch has really been great for our titles. Like it sells more than anything and more than we expected." And
it's doing great on the indies.
Yeah, and even like the bigger games, like even everyone is putting out like their remakes and stuff on it. Darksiders just came out on it, and the Resident Evil series is coming out on it, and so like everyone's putting stuff on there because it's successful. And these guys are like, "Well, here's the quote. Anytime we're evaluating platform conversations, we're really looking at a couple of things. One, does it seem like the game's a real good fit for the profile of the platform in terms of the controls and the community ecosystem? And two, do we think the community playing on that platform would appreciate the game going there? And, or would they prefer to play it somewhere else? And well, they would."
Yeah. And then they continue to say, "We've learned that if we don't put our games on the Switch, you know, we would tend to find out that they don't buy our games on the Switch."
Yeah, no shit.
Sorry, that's from the chat. That's from Chet Fu.
So, I don't know. EA being EA. Fucking EA, man.
Yeah, dude. I mean, this is coming from the company that won't, like, do any kind of, like, HD remaster of Mass Effect that people have been clamoring for years, and they know they can make money.
They won't do an HD remake of anything. Do you know how... We've said it a million times.
Yeah, they did for Burnout.
Yeah, fucking Burnout. Like, anybody wanted Burnout that Paradise. One.
I bought the shit out of that.
I know you did.
I have 4 copies of Burnout. Thanks, GOG Galaxy, for letting me know that.
Yeah. All right, that's it for the show. I hope everybody enjoyed it. And stay tuned for a little bit of a post show. It won't be much because we still have some shit to record, okay? But until next week, hug someone you love. Just do it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to hug you guys next time I see you.
I hope so. I mean, it's been a while. I'm
going to hug you lots, Kev.
Doug's like, "I don't want to hang out
Doug,
anymore."
Doug, I'm going to hug you even more than I already do.
I just picture like Doug looking at his phone, seeing Jeremy on his ring, and just putting the phone back down. Going about his business.
No one answer the door.
Of course your kid's going to answer the door, and he'll have a knife in his hand. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
Until next time, lots of love, hugs, and all that bullshit.